Penguin Random House Audio presents Murder in the Dressing Room. Written and read for you by Holly Stars.
Prologue. Dead. There was no doubt about it. Lady was dead. She was dead and her wig had fallen off. Misty had never seen a dead body before. The closest being a pigeon she'd seen get run over by a taxi on Charing Cross Road last week. Except the pigeon's death had been an accident. Lady's death was clearly something more sinister. A murder, Misty knew instantly. Lady has been murdered. Misty had gasped in horror as she opened the dressing room door and discovered the body. She teetered on her high heels in the doorway for a second, unsure of what to do first. Her drag queen instincts were kicking in, and she desperately wanted to put Lady's lavender wig back on, to cover up her exposed bald head. But she didn't. She knew she shouldn't touch anything. Misty was dressed in too tight a corset to be running down corridors, but she ran anyway. Back to the dressing room where the other queens were taking off their makeup and de-dragging after a splendid night of cabaret at Lady's Bar. Her stiletto heels clacked like horses' hooves against the tiled floor, and her left ankle wobbled beneath her. "Don't fall now," she thought. "Must get help." Exploding through the door into the busy little room, Misty stopped and bellowed at the top of her voice. "Someone call an ambulance! And the police! Lady has been poisoned!" And it was true. It had been as plain as a walker's ready salted to see. Lady's body was currently outstretched on her dressing room floor, her fingers clutching half a chocolate truffle, her mouth oozing thick white foam onto the soft pink carpet. The room burst into commotion. Plimbley Walsh, a long-limbed lip-syncer in a bright blue leotard, let out a startled scream as though she'd just sat her skinny buttock down heavy on a sharp pin. "Poisoned!" she screeched. "I'm calling 999, said Moneypenny, a 25-year-old stand-up comedian who performed as a 95-year-old grandma. She lifted her phone to her ear, pressing it gently against her blue rinse wig. "Does she need help?" asked Amore, sparkling from head to toe in a beautiful deep green sari. "I'm a first aider." Amore stood up from her makeup station and rushed past Misty, out into the corridor. Misty followed her, speaking quickly as they hurried along the tiles to Lady's dressing room. "I went to check on her. I just opened the door and found her. She's dead, Amore. She's already dead in there." Len and Den, the drag king double act who had closed tonight's show, emerged from the king's dressing room into the corridor. "What's happening?" asked Len, following Misty and Amore up the corridor. They arrived at the door. A big brass star said Lady in engraved italics. There she was, lying on the floor, her foamy mouth wide open in a frozen wail. She looked tiny to Misty, no longer bursting with the giant and sparkling personality for which she was famous. "I can't believe it," thought Misty. "I can't believe she's dead." Dead. Chapter 1. Wednesday. 2 hours earlier. It was a Wednesday night, hence the title of the chapter. And, like every Wednesday night, Misty Devine was working at Lady's Bar, the glittering and opulent cabaret club on Old Compton Street in the heart of Soho. Later, she wouldn't be able to say precisely when she knew something was wrong, but there was something in the air, something Misty could feel in the pit of her stomach. Misty was one of the bar's regulars, drag daughter and mentee of the owner, Lady Lady, and widely known as one of the best singers on the circuit. She had performed first, opening the show with three exuberant jazz numbers that ended with rapturous applause as she bowed, curtsied, and accepted a red rose from a table of gay men in the front row. She was tall and beautiful, and she knew it. A 6-foot-1 drag queen with bouffant blonde hair, long legs, and exquisite makeup. Tonight she was all in red. A red off-the-shoulder mini-dress with a sweeping neckline and hem so high she was more leg than skirt. Red crystal jewellery that dripped from each ear and across her chest, and sequined scarlet heels so tall they were known affectionately in the business as ankle breakers. Thankfully, Misty's ankles were still intact, despite stiletto-related injuries in the drag business seemingly at an all-time high. After her performance, she retreated to the bar at the back of the auditorium, choosing a high bar stool at the end of the counter from which she could survey the entire room. Ladies' Bar was a stunning venue. A vast underground cabaret space, decorated with velvet and gold leaf, it was the place to go to see the very best of the London drag scene. And all of it hosted by Lady Lady herself, the sensation and living legend. There were 100 cabaret tables, each one polished to perfection and adorned with a flickering candle and a vase of white flowers. Patrons dressed up for the occasion, and from the bar, Misty could see customers in fabulous outfits, ranging from black tie to rhinestone tracksuits. Served by waiters in bow ties and burgundy aprons, as performer after performer took to the stage. Was something off with one of the customers? Is that what had set her on edge? She looked from table to table as tonight's lip-syncer, Plimberly, brought the house down with a performance of acrobatic genius as she flipped and dipped and flicked her hair. But no. There didn't seem to be anyone doing anything out of the ordinary in the audience, nobody who particularly stood out as problematic. Maybe it's just a spot of anxiety, she told herself. I'm imagining things. But still, she couldn't shake it. When Lady Lady came back out on stage after Plimberly's lip sync, she looked sublime. She was dressed in a perfectly fitted bronze and gold gown with a heavy crystal-encrusted train that dragged along the floor behind her. And her hair was the lavender purple she had worn for 20 years. Misty knew that up close, her hair smelled of lavender too. Drag should be a delight for all the senses, Lady Lady always said. She'd been known to ban drag queens from performing at the club if they showed up in stinking tights, which, frankly, happened more often than Misty liked to admit. Drag could be a down and dirty business, and reeking tights were par for the course when you were gigging 6 nights a week. In between each act, Lady Lady would do a little stand-up comedy, or sing a number, or perform a lip-sync, whatever she had prepared for the occasion. And every time, every night, she was faultless. Perfection. The finest cabaret host London had seen since Danny LaRue. Lady Lady was a tiny powerhouse. At 5 feet tall, she was shorter than most of the other drag performers, but her stage presence was enormous. And let's hear a round of applause for... Plimberly! Shouted Plimberly from the side of the stage. Plimberly! Plimberly, of course! Laughed Lady Lady. Misty stood up. In the 5 years that Misty had worked with Lady Lady, she had never, not once, heard Lady Lady or into the microphone. She prided herself on being an impeccable public speaker and the fact that she had forgotten Plimbley's name.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?